Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Suck Pod. We are back from our short hiatus. I was traveling with my family, and then I came back, and I had some issues with my home that I had to get sorted out. But now we are back, and we are here, and we're recording, and we're talking about Succession.
I'm so glad that you're back. I'm so glad that we're back because
yes.
We've been like dying to talk to you guys about it. Because we've always texted each other about it, but now we want to know like what you guys are thinking. We want you to know our thoughts and now our predictions. Now that everything has like shuffled around so much, so before we even get to the episode that aired on Sunday, which was episode 8, which Jesse Armstrong told us that it was going to be the most shocking episode after the finale, which we'll get to later because I want to know your thoughts on that.
He said
that.
Shocking? I don't know if
yes.
I found it to be shocking.
Exactly.
I thought it was like a, and let me know if this doesn't make sense, but it felt like one of the biggest episodes, meaning just like in scope, in what they were trying to accomplish. It was incredibly fast-paced. It was probably the most fast-paced episode of Succession that we've seen yet. And I don't know if you felt this, but I also thought it was the most like real. Like it hit home, I think, the most out of all the other episodes in terms of comparing the show, or I'm sorry, looking at the show as a skewering of American culture and politics and power.
Yeah, I think that's why it wasn't as shocking to me. And I get this from a lot of people on Twitter that feel like they're let down by episode 8 because of what he said. And like when you say these things, you can't say it with a show like Succession because we have had shocking episodes already in this season. We have had shocking episodes in the other seasons. Shocking was not a good word. And they... You know, it was still a good episode of a great series, but it kind of let me down a little bit because he hyped it up so much.
Well, I think, you know, coming at it from like an American TV fan point of view, I think when you hear the word like this episode's going to be shocking, you think of big twists because that's what, you know, American prestige TV is so known for, like a massive twist that just makes your jaw drop to the floor. I think that what's interesting about Succession is that it really is a British comedy played by Americans and in an American setting, right? Like in the American, you know, media setting. And I think last night's episode was the most like just really digging in to American politics and culture in a way that I just haven't seen in any other show. It's so interesting to see this and like seeing a British creative team really behind this series and the way that it just makes me look at our country different. I don't know if you feel that way, Kaya, but this show just makes me think of America in a completely different light.
It kind of doesn't. And you know why? I actually feel the opposite. That's why I was not shocked, is because everything that happened on there was realistic. Like,
right.
You know, voter suppression, calling
100%.
You know, all of that. So I'm like, oh, the Roys played a hand in having the, you know, more conservative president take the lead. That's not shocking at all. And I knew that Shiv was going to get caught. So I didn't think that shit was going to get caught on episode 10. Mm. It had to be, you know, this episode. So
100%.
I think I'm just so numb to the way that, like, this is just real life.
No, 100%.
Maybe to them, it feels like, oh, look at this. We're going to, you know, kind of not make a mockery of it, but show you. It's like a mirror of, like, what was happening to multiple elections. So
100%.
I'm like, well, this actually really happened. This is not surprising. But I will say it was hilarious. It came in that same vein of Succession. And I think that Tom leveled up in so many ways, you know, like
top tier performance.
Just do you even think that he has any kind of feelings for Shiv in any way.
Well, I think it's a great example of Tom continuing to kind of just, he's so in his own mind of trying to climb up this corporate ladder. He's so in his own head of his own vision of success that even when his ex-wife tells him that she's pregnant, he's kind of just like, okay, what's the play here? What's the move? And you can see that what's interesting about Tom this season in particular is like he really is kind of freewheeling, like he's in free fall, right? You know, he hitched his wagon to Logan, who passed, and now he's really trying to carve out his own space. And it makes it even harder that he's no longer with his wife, and they can't seem to really figure it out. So, yeah.
Let's walk this back a bit
Yeah,
because we are
let's
getting
walk this back.
into episode 8. So let's start a little, just not our feelings about the last few episodes that we weren't able to talk to you about. Starting off with Kill List. This is the one where they go to Norway, and basically Kendall and Roman decide we kind of want to keep this company. They talk about the prices
Oh
and all
yeah.
that stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, even though I don't know what that means. I'm like, that's a massive amount of money. Because to me, it is like anything over $100. I'm like, oh, this is a massive amount of money. They decide that they don't want to go through with the sale, even though it seemed that earlier in the show that they would want to go through with the sale. Shiv kind of starts her alliance with Alexander Skarsgård's character. He tells her that weird ass shit about how he sent leaders of blood to his ex, aka the woman who's working for him. I think she's what, a SPR woman.
So messy.
So many things going on, and it's called Kill List, so obviously they have like a mind of like who they're gonna keep, who they're gonna fire if the sale
Totally.
goes through and everything. We saw, I think it was Jerry's kind of like last strong episode, which I'm very upset by the Jerry erasure. Like it was enough to break her and Roman up, but for her not to be in the mix as much is kind of like weird, especially when we're seeing like all these other people. But what did you think about Kill List? The setting
List.
won,
Yeah. Yeah, the
the
setting, yeah.
decisions,
Beautiful,
everything.
breathtaking. Yeah. I think it was a great episode just kind of showcasing like okay, like the stakes are real now. Like Gojo is gonna take us over and who gets to still, be a part of the company or who's gonna get, kicked out. And you kind of see everybody starting to scramble a little bit. Alliances being formed, alliances being broken. Like as you said, Jerry, like she's definitely kind of distancing herself. Although I loved the scene that she had in the, what was it, the following episode or the episode after at the election night party or the
Yeah.
pre-election night party where, her and Roman kind of have at it. But we'll get to that. Yeah, no, I think it was overall, it was a good episode. It moved the plot along in terms of, Kendall and Roman, really trying to get inside Madison's head. And I don't know. I mean, do you think that they ended up obviously on the way back, it looks like they kind of like won that negotiation with him. But in the moment, were you did it seem that they had it a leg up on him?
In the moment, I'm like, okay, he offered to buy more, but they're losing ATN. And ATN, kind of like for me, I think it represented what their father was. So not only were they losing the company, they're losing like the last bit of, the boss. So
Yeah.
that was definitely, I feel like it was a win for everyone else, but I could tell by Roman and Kendall, who don't want the sale to go through, they're like, well, fuck,
Yeah, I
but they
think
had
that's
to
the
put
wasn't that
on
the
that
impetus for it? Like
air.
that was the moment where they're like, okay, maybe we don't want this to go through, right? When ATN suddenly came up for grabs.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so then this was kind of one of my, yeah, I'd say probably my favorite episode. I know you were a fan of episode two, which was a really good episode of the season,
It
of
was, yes.
just this season. But you think that episode two was like the best episode of the series ever. But for this season, Living Plus was like, I don't know if it was Kendall going back and forth, Kendall making them like create these clouds, create this like living area. It was like not a jump scare is not the proper word, but I'm going to use it anyway. There's like a jump scare of Logan talking about, you know, doing that commercial, and you see that he still like insulted his kids even in the afterlife, and just Robin not wanting to go through with it. Shiv obviously not wanting to go through with it because she's working with Mattson, but Kendall kind of got up there and we were just all thinking, what is he going to do during this presentation? Some people felt that he really killed it, and then some people felt that it was a disaster. Where were you on the whole Living Plus episode, yeah, the Living Plus concept?
I love that episode.
Kendall of it all.
Yeah, my first reaction to that episode was like, oh, Manic Kendall is back. Like the guy that's like smoking two hits of a cigarette and like throwing it on the ground and walking into a meeting, like he's back for whatever reason. And then, you know, obviously now kind of later in the season, I feel like maybe he's faltering just a little bit, but I thought it was a great example of seeing Kendall really starting to kind of take over the Logan Roy persona. Like he really wants to be seen as the leader, as the decision maker in Waystar. And, you know, his ideas are always kind of out there. I think we've seen that throughout the entire show when he's, you know, rapping L to the OG or hosting a birthday party. Like all of his ideas are just so out there. But to see him pitching Living Plus, which, what was it, like cruise ships, but on land or whatever? Like,
yes,
it's just so
such
crazy.
A hilarious line.
Yeah, and I think it's another example of what the show does really well with Kendall's character, where he is so in his own head of what he thinks his success is and what the success of Waystar can be. And never looks into the actual details of anything. And I thought all the banter back and forth with the finance, with the team, with what was it, Frank, you know, the CFO, but also kind of just like, you know, just being so over the top manic. That's the only word I can think of to describe it as he's
That's
pitching
what he
this.
Is.
Yeah.
But then it worked out for him.
It did. I think it did.
Which was like, for me personally, and I don't know if it's because I'm a Kendall girl or maybe it's because I saw him tapping back again into that season one Kendall where he's listening to like Jay-Z pulling up at the fucking, you know,
yeah,
spot.
Kendall's awesome in this
and
episode.
it's just so lit. And then when Shiv, like, she reserves a room for 20 minutes to go and cry, I was like, same girl, like, you just go. You cry and then you just like handle your day. And that's like 100%. When Tom came in and then they kind of like got back into the Tom and Shiv lovey-dovey era, which we're out of again.
I know, but I loved that scene between them in that episode because it was the first time. And I think overall, what I really like about Tom and Shiv just in general is that out of all the kind of crazy over the top interactions and character traits of each of these people, Tom and Shiv, like, they really do play it as such a real relationship. And I thought it was just a really interesting place that the two of them went to, where Tom's like, yeah, like let's talk about it. Let's be honest and really talk about what happened and let's be out there. And, you know, it's about money, right? It's about money at the end of the day. Like he's just kind of tackling it head on. And the way that Tom can kind of go from these like hilarious scenes with Greg to this very authentic, real relationship driven drama moments with Shiv, I think is just unbelievable for a show. And to watch that, it's just like some of the most dynamic.
Like a human, like that's the only time that you see them as not just monsters. You kind of see them as two people who definitely should not be together. And we know the secret that Shiv is pregnant, but he doesn't even know the secret yet. And it just gets messier in the next episode, which is episode 7, the one before this tailgate party, which is the one where, it's the night before the election, everyone is on edge. Freaking Mattson rolls in speaking Swedish. Like, he, okay, do you consider him a villain?
Yes and no. I mean, I think he represents, I mean, at the most surface level, the tech industry and the way that it's swallowing up traditional media and all the kind of nuances that go with that, like all the kind of tropes that go with these like nerdy tech engineers taking over Hollywood and that kind of energy and theme, which I think is very, I think that his character plays it spot on. Is he the villain though? I don't know. I mean, he's definitely a villain to the Roys, if you look
But
at
do you
them.
see him as a villain? Like, in general, if I ask you with no kind of
No.
nuance or anything, is he the villain?
All these characters are so dislikable. They're all so flawed. I don't, and that's one of the things I really love about the show is like there is no good guys versus bad guys. It's just all these people that are extremely self-interested, that are willing to throw an election in our country just to get what they want. And I think Matheson's right up in there, where, he wants to be known as the really, really rich tech guy that takes over this, dinosaur media conglomerate. And he doesn't want to, play around. He doesn't want to mess around. He wants to just take it over. And he's gonna kind of, rub salt in Kendall and Roman's wounds from their pride being damaged along the way. Like he wants to play dirty. He wants to get in it. Yeah. What do you
The
think?
way that he freak he's not a villain to me. I do think, I don't want to criticize the show because the fans can get crazy, but let me book it. It's almost over. I do think that they're spending a lot of time, though they spent a lot of time on his character. And I'm like, do we have this time to just have so much Mattson this, Mattson that? Okay, like we had a whole episode where we went to Norway for him, so it's just so much. But he's not a villain to me at all, and I think it was
Yeah.
just very obnoxious but hilarious how he RSVP'd yes 4 minutes ahead of time because he said that their dad invited him and Kendall's speaking and you just hear a bunch of like
Yeah.
Swedish talking and they walk into the room
During
and
the moment
say
of
it the way
silence.
during the moment of silence and the way that they also like treat Greg, which is very like weird because you think that they hate Greg, they don't want him around, but then Greg, aka the Slim Reaper, is like, oh, I'll fire anyone, so he's very entertained by Greg, which I think is why he kind of let it slip that him and Shiv were like working together because
Yeah.
I was shocked to like hear that Greg went out with them, whatever, but not he didn't just go out with them, like he actually got intel, which we found out like on the last
Yeah.
episode, but
I mean,
it's insane.
it is really funny because Greg, like he throughout the entire show has these moments where, okay, yes, he's this kind of just comic relief in all these different scenes, but he actually does still have motivation, which I really like. Like he still is trying to claw to the top just like anybody else. Sure, maybe he's two rungs lower on that ladder, but it's not going to stop him from getting in the room and trying to make a move. And that's why, initially Shiv was the one that had invited Matheson to the party. And then it was kind of Greg at the end of the day that like swooped in and, being a disgusting brother, was able to just, brag about how he fired everybody, which was also a very iconic scene, by the way,
Slim
where,
Reaper, he's like reading from it.
yeah, some confusion in the chat.
I see that there is some confusion in the chat. As of today,
Oh, it's
hilarious,
just so great
hilarious.
that like they can give him these comedic moments in this last season that are just, I mean, I feel like this is like the Greg moments are the most Greg that they can be, which is awesome.
It's just gregging it. Like they've made it a verb, you know,
Gregging
like
it 100%. Yeah, I need what
gregging it.
Tom, like throughout this whole season so far,
And they
Tom
made
has
it a
said, like,
noun. He's like, I'm getting more Gregs.
yeah,
And
we
I'm
need to
just
get more
like,
Gregs. Yeah, or I'm demoting you down, Greg, to your earlier Greg status.
I fucking love the Disgusting Brothers, but like with that episode, I know that it's obviously about the party and the election and everything, but I do want to get to what led up to the new episode, which was the conversation that Tom and Shiv have, where they really like went at each other's
Yeah.
fucking throats, and he was like, I don't think that you should be a mom. And
Oh,
it
yeah.
was just like, yo, and she's pregnant. And it was just so real, so raw. And like, that was the moment that I'm like, okay, well, they have to fucking divorce, clearly. But I didn't expect Shiv to soften and apologize to him in the new episode and kind of, you know, tell him, yeah, I'm pregnant. And I didn't expect him to react like that either. It was just a lot. Like, I'm very invested in the Shiv Tom of it all.
So you think it's over for them? There's no chance that they'll get back together.
No, I don't think so. Not anymore. I think that they could if maybe the other guy, if Jimenez won. And they are working together, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna bring you with me to work with Mattson and everything. Now, you know, Minkin won for now. I just don't know how they would even decide to work together or be together or anything. It's just very,
I feel like they
a
have to
hard
end up
time.
together. I don't know
They
if that's a
have
weird,
to.
not have to, but I think that,
Like Ross and Rachel, every show has like a Ross and Rachel.
yeah. Well, here's an interesting thing that I wanted to call out that I've been thinking about a lot. So this last season, right, every single episode is a full day, and technically the days are also consecutive. So this last season is essentially a week in the life of the Roy family. And the reason why I'm
That's
laughing right
crazy to
now
think
is that,
about.
yeah, it is totally crazy. And
Like Monday you're flying somewhere to make a deal. Tuesday your dad dies. Wednesday you're having a party. Thursday there's an election. Like,
yeah.
yo, that's crazy. That's a good point. Go
And
ahead.
I think it certainly was an ambitious plot moment or plot device, whatever you want to call it, that the creative team did for this last season. I think it maybe confuses viewers a little bit because, and this is why I think, and this goes back to Shiv and Tom in the sense that, you know, if every single day of a week they're having these like blowout fights and they make up and they have another blowout fight and they make up, I do think that they could end up together still because the fact that everything is so like one day to the next also kind of shows that it could also mean that it's not as serious as it looks because we're watching these things with 1 week and you know in between. So you think, oh my God, that was a blowout
Yeah.
fight. They probably have not been talking. They probably have been really far away from each
They've
other.
had time. Like,
But it
no, they
right.
haven't
But
had any
even
time.
last
It's
night's
back to back.
episode, right. And even last night's episode technically is only what, you know, 12, 14 hours after their blowout fight, you know, at the pre-election party. So I don't know. I don't know. It throws me through a
Fuck.
loop.
That's such a good point. And then obviously, like a baby sometimes just brings people together on top of that.
Yes.
So that's another thing to think about. But we won't even be able to. Do you think, okay, that's what I want to know. In episode 8, the finale episode, the 90-minute episode, do you think that we're going to have a time jump?
I hope so. I don't know if I actually don't know what the answer is. You know, it's looks like it's Logan's funeral. But I don't know. I can't imagine it. I don't think for Logan's funeral it's going to be a time jump because they were talking about
No,
how the
for
next
the
day.
finale. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, is next weekend the finale?
No, the one after it is
Okay.
gonna be the finale.
Yeah,
This
got
is
it.
eight.
Okay. My bad. Sorry. Then I do think, I hope there's a time jump. You know, what that time jump is, I'm not sure. Is it going to be like Kendall's children 10 years down the line and they're in therapy? Maybe.
They need to be. Oh my God.
Maybe,
Kimmy
but
was turned into such a low. Oh, I'm doing this for them.
yeah. Well, let's shift gears. Let's talk about Kendall for a second in this most recent episode. Kendall is, I feel like this episode he was not as active as he typically was. This one was more about Roman, and Roman's kind of singular goal of just getting Mencken, you know, selected as the president. Do you think that that was intentional? Do you feel like Kendall was kind of like holding back a little bit? Like, where do you think that was coming from? Why was his energy the way it was in last night's episode?
I think Kendall wanted to be he wants okay, obviously he's not gonna go like super freaking opposite of his dad. He's not gonna be like super freaking liberal or whatever. But I think that he does want to give the whole voting thing due process. He does want the network to have some stability so they don't look like fools if it comes out that, you know, the votes aren't the way the votes are. He wanted to wait and he wanted to see how this all played out. Obviously, it was nice that Mencken was the one who won because then they can make the play and they can keep the company and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, we're getting a storyline, even though we're not really seeing them, about Kendall's kids, specifically his daughter, who is not white, who is being bullied. So I think we're seeing his human side of, you know, it would be nice if Mencken won for the company, but it would be better if Jimenez won for the country and for my daughter, who is a person of color. And, you know, he also has Jesse, who is a person of color, and he has his driver, who is a person of color. And all these people are all close to him. And he sees that, like, they're the updates that they were getting, the fire, the voter suppression, all of that, he's seeing how terrible the country is, and it was hinted to be on that side that would, you know, the conservative side, that he kind of wanted to see if Mencken wins, Mencken wins. But if Jimenez wins, it's better for the future. And it's better for the company to be able to say that we called it at the right time and we gave fair and due process. For why they did that, also, I think, is so we can actually see Roman as the successor, because now I'm like, oh, Roman's in with Mencken so much so that I'm like, maybe he's gonna pick Roman to run the company or something like that. Because even with Kendall, when he was talking, was it with Shiv? He was talking to, and he's like, I'm kind of jealous that Roman has this close relationship with Mencken. And I didn't think that Roman was going to be able to do it by himself since he lost Jerry, the Jerry eraser that we were talking about before. But now it's like, okay, he doesn't have Jerry, but he has Mencken. So I'm like, well, now Roman is a contender, a stronger contender than before.
Yeah, this episode made me realize that, and we've talked about it before on this podcast, how Roman is like, he does have the killer instinct of Logan, but he just can't execute on it. He's always right, but he never wins. I feel like that's what Roman's character is. And I think, by the way, you were spot on also with Kendall, where he has this potential internal conflict. And I think the way that Jeremy Strong plays it, it's very like Kendall knows what is the right move to make. He's aware of it, but he can't make it. Because at the end of the day, in his own head, he's thinking of his father. He knows that his father, just like Roman, you know, doesn't feel bad about making decisions that really mess up the country. Like, it's just completely self-serving. And I think Kendall wishes deep down that he could be that cutthroat, but he isn't. And that's
He
why I
does
feel like you
not.
see him in this episode kind of going back and forth in his own head, but not actually doing anything. You know, he's constantly kind of just like deferring it, like, okay, well, you know, whatever. And then it's also so personal to him in the sense that when he finally does learn that Shiv had betrayed them behind their backs, he immediately sides with Roman. And it's not because of the good of the country or the bad of the country,
right?
He's a cutthroat or he's a killer. It's just because he kind of goes back to this childish mentality of, oh, well, you know, my sister lied to us. So we're just going to do it, whatever she wants the least, whatever's going to really make her upset. And it's just crazy that it's like this childish game is what leads to just this horrible manipulation of an election.
Yeah. And at first I'm just like, this is crazy. But then thinking about it, I'm like, obviously this, them calling it, is a bigger deal than what I originally thought. I'm like, okay, well, they call it, and then if it's wrong, whatever. But no, like, if they call it, Connor finally stepped down. So that's what I mean. Like, his voters are going to vote
that
on
speech.
Whatever side. Connor just feels like he should be in a Will Ferrell. Like, I don't know. He's like a multiverse Will Ferrell, in my opinion. For some reason,
so
he just reminds
levels.
Me. Yeah. Like,
there's
so
many levels to him. It's amazing.
Yeah. And then also, okay, so it's the Connor factor where he drops out. And so then his voters go one way. And then also, if people see that, you know, there's a projected winner, then they're not going to vote, right? So, like, it, them calling it is a bigger deal. Kendall is definitely conflicted about it. And that's my baby girl. I don't know. I just see him getting so stressed. And it makes me, the way that he was stressed and the way that he kind of like slumps back into, can I come see the kids? Because he knows that he did the wrong thing. That's why I'm just like, that is my baby girl. I will never stop being a Kendall fan, because he knows right and wrong and what's going to, you know, affect them like that.
So then what do you think he meant by the last line of the episode where he looks to his driver and says, some people just can't make a deal?
Damn. I didn't even think about it. I was just like taking in the episode. What did you think? I have no idea.
I think it was a reference to Shiv. I think it was a reference to Shiv from Kendall's point of view, where, you know, the episode ends where Kendall and Roman win, right? Like, they find out that Shiv had been, you know, a traitor to them, and they push Mencken, you know, into the presidency, essentially. And I think at the end of the day, Kendall's looking back at it and saying to his driver, like, some people just can't make a deal. Like, Shiv had a chance. Shiv could have gone to them, right, and kept their inner circle kind of closed and really tried to make a deal internally with her family, but she didn't. You know, she turned her back on them. And exactly. And for that reason, I think it's less of like, I think the line is less to be, it's less of like Kendall trying to actually like say something deep. I think it's more of like a literal line, like take it at face value, right? Here's Kendall, who thinks he's like this big power player.
She kind of pulled a Kendall though.
And she did, exactly.
This doesn't necessarily happen to, well, it happens to Shiv sometimes, but this happens more to Kendall, where he just gets ahead of himself, gets in his own way, calls things too early, and it fucks up. And yeah, this happens to Kendall more than Shiv. So I feel like maybe it's like a, it wasn't me this time kind of feeling. Like, I kind of won. And I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't even realize he said that at the end. I was just like focused on him being more, a little bit like stressed out about
I think it's just
the kids and what he did.
I just think it's him kind of reflecting to himself and just being like, we could have helped Shiv. Like, we could have all worked together. She maybe wouldn't have been the CEO or co-CEO, but we would have played ball with her. And now we're just going to fight each other.
Yeah.
That was that. I also want to call out one other moment from this episode that I thought was really powerful. which was the moment where we see Greg and Jess have a scene.
Oh,
Do you remember
finally.
that?
Yeah.
Where.
Like the two insiders, basically, that you don't really count on. Like, yeah, Jess is what, Kendall's like assistant, and then Greg is
Tom's assistant.
Tom's Greg. It's like the two people in who are always in the room that you kind of like count out. Go ahead, though.
Well, so I saw that. That was just such an interesting moment for me because you see the way Succession is as a series where it's these really, really powerful people making decisions in their own self-interest, not really caring about, what is going on for the rest of the country. But it's more than just these powerful people at the top, right? Like all these powerful people, both in the show but also in America, have, layers and layers of executives that work for them, assistants that work for them. And I think it was just this interesting moment where, Jess is like, well, should we wait a beat? Should we wait a minute? And you never really hear stories of, an assistant or, someone that's like lower down on the totem pole, like really trying to stand up in a big way. Or if you do hear about it, like maybe it's a passing news story, but they don't actually get remembered in history in any sort of way. And I thought, Jess kind of brings this up, like, well, should we, like, wow, like, should we do something? Like, should we do something? And Greg kind of just shrugs. And I think that was like one of the most kind of heartbreaking moments of Greg as a character because he's kind of just shrugging his shoulders and saying, look, if it's not us, it's going to be someone else. Tom's right behind me. Like he's about to go into the newsroom and call it for Mencken anyway. So, we might as well just kind of ride this along. And I think it just shows again, like it was this really interesting view of the way power is in this series, but also in American society where it's these people at the top, everyone's underneath, and it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter if you're one of the, the lackeys to Tom or Kendall or Roman. Like they're still going to have their way. They're still going to have the money. It's everybody else that kind of has to, just kind of like flow with it, or someone else will do it.
Yeah, you make a good point. I think that we also lost a lot of, like, while Greg is still Greg, I think it was, what was that, last season where he was like, who needs a soul? And we saw like the progression of, even though he doesn't really have that much power, he has some sort of power. Like we see it throughout the whole season. He's like, I'm a cousin. And then I'm a cousin, I get a plus one. Or like we kind of see him like, also rat on Shiv, which I didn't think that he was going to do that, because Shiv was like, if you fuck me, I'll kill you. And he told Kendall. So I think we kind of like also lost Greg, even when we think that we have someone like on the side of what is good to get to the top. Hey, yeah, Shiv did X, Y, and Z.
I mean, I think Greg is still such an unlikable character, but he's also a great example of someone that's kind of lower on the totem pole looking up and saying, oh, okay, if I lose a soul, if I lose my soul, if I lose all sense of value, if I become a disgusting brother, well, that's just what it takes to get to the top.
Right.
That and flicking wasabi into a whatever the
How
election desk
much do you
guy's
think?
eye.
How much do you think LaCroix spent to have this placement? I'm convinced, like, I
The
don't
limit does not
care.
exist.
Yeah, how much did they pay to have this spot, man? And I know
Hundreds.
I saw Coke hundreds. Anything over $100 is a lot of money for me personally. I know I saw like Coca-Cola being panned in on, but then I'm like, was that a Blue Mountain Dew that I saw also? Like,
Wait, where did you
I
see
don't know.
that?
I'm trying to find it. I think it was like earlier before they went out, before they had the touch screen issue. They kind of had like the scene where they panned through like all the things that people were able to drink. But I'm just wondering how much like people pay for placement on this show, especially the last season, episode 8.
My gosh.
It has to be insane.
Probably a lot of money. But I did find it really funny that, and maybe you're right that it was a placement, because not only was the LaCroix can there, but Greg tries to use it to pour it into his eye, and then Tom's like, a lemon LaCroix, really? And then, Greg's like,
Then
well,
he
it's only a
tastes
hint.
it.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm just like, oh, that was
So there you
sly.
go.
Like, I, you know what? When we do it like that, I don't really mind it, because that
So
was
yeah.
really funny. Like, it
It was
hit.
so funny. It was so funny. I think it was one of the
I
funniest bits of
also,
this of the season.
for sure. I also heard them say to listen to Suck Pod. I don't know if anyone caught that. They definitely mentioned our podcast on there, and they said to share it with anyone who listens to the show. So that was one of my favorite parts of the episode.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that's what Kendall's listening to in the car
Yeah,
on his way in.
for sure.
Okay, so let's bring this in for a landing here. What do you think is going to happen in the second to last episode, and then I
Okay.
guess the finale? Like, where do you think this show is kind of wrapping up?
They got me all over the place now, but we hear a lot of, obviously Roman is doing the talking for the funeral. So again, Roman's placement is higher now. So we might see, I don't know. I think we're headed for all three of the kids, well, the main kids, not talking to each other. And Connor is somewhere in Slovenia or something. Like, I think we're not gonna get like a happy ending. It's not gonna end in any way that we can guess, and it might not even be
Yeah.
like a successor at all. So what do you think is gonna happen?
Well, I saw it came up on my like Instagram reels, but I saw a clip of the actor who plays Carl, and someone was interviewing him about, how does the show end or something like that, and he's like, you will not see it coming at all. It is going to be a huge surprise. And the way that he said that, I was like, oh my God, I really don't know. I can
I
only,
have no
I have
theories.
no, there's no theory, because, one, like, Logan died, which, by the way, like, I know we've talked about as like a necessary
The
plot
whole point
point,
of this.
right, that needed to happen. But I don't know. I don't know where the show goes. I mean, I think this is the funeral episode. I'm a little torn, because I hope there's a lot of excitement and action in it that brings us into the finale. But I can also really see the episode as similar to last night, in that it just kind of all takes place within the funeral home or the church, wherever, it's kind of taking place there. But I kind of want it to be a little bit more of like a dynamic
Yeah, I wanted to move.
Second to last episode. Yeah. So I would love to see some kind of time pass, honestly. I think it's getting a little too rushed of a season. It's like so much action condensed into a 1 week span. It's a little too much, and to a certain extent. I mean, I still love it, but it is a lot. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that Roman, I think it's the end of the show is gonna really depend on the way Roman and Mencken's relationship, continues, blossoms. Is that a new power alliance? Will they stop the Gojo deal? Like, is that just done now because, Mencken's in their pocket and he'll do whatever they say? I don't know. I think anything can happen. I want to see more Jerry. I want to see her come back and make hell. I want to see a piece for Tom and Shiv. Like, I want to see whatever shakes out with them. I hope that they both like end up well, and I hope that Rava and the kids don't need the extra security anymore. It
That was wild.
was
That was
truly,
wild. A classic
truly.
Kendall moment. What was that Roman said in the preview? He was like, She cries, kindle eyes. I'm like, oh shit, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Like
A
breaking
lot of
it down.
rhyming. A lot of rhyming in these last episodes, but
They are some saucy little minxes, and I can't wait to see
truly.
how it ends up.
I know, for real. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. This week we will be back on a more regular schedule to kind of finish out the show. Thank you for kind of for following along, for sending us your questions, for joining us each week. It means a lot.